Holy Spirit, you are welcome. Jesus, you are welcome. Father, we pray that you take your first place among us. Father, we pray that you would not leave your house without a witness. I pray that you speak a living word to us. Today, we just want to thank you for the life of Giovanni and the mother, Selena, and the family that have come here to support him to be dedicated before you. We pray, oh, in the name of Jesus. Lord, speak to our hearts. Father, some are here to give thanks. Like Selena, I want to give thanks for the son. And the family want to give thanks to such a precious son. Father, we thank you for it. Father, some too are here because they are under pressure and they want to seek the face of God. I pray, God, that they will find you. Father, some are here. Father God, they cannot open their mouth to ask for anything. But God, you know their stories. You understand the uncertainty in their hearts. God, yourself, meet them according to your riches in Christ Jesus. Father, some are looking for healing today. Do it for them. Father, in the name of Jesus, Father, some are looking for a way out. Be it a legal situation, be it a financial situation, be it an emotional situation. Father, some even a spiritual attack. I pray in the name of Jesus that God will rise powerfully on their behalf today. Lord, I give you glory. In Jesus' name, I have prayed. Amen. Please sit down. My name is Gideon Nash. I will share a few things with you. And we'll bring Giovanni before the church at some point soon. Today I want to speak on the topic, the people God calls. The people God calls. That's supposed to be the last slide. How come it's first? Okay, just a little technical problem, but it should start right at the top. If you've got your Bible with you, turn to Deuteronomy chapter 4. The image will be the last slide. It will be the third slide. Turn your Bible to Deuteronomy chapter 4. I'm reading from the first 9 verses from New International Version. Now, Israel, hear the decrees and laws I am about to teach you. Follow them so that you may live and may go in and take possession of the land the Lord, the God of your ancestors, is giving you. Do not add to what I command you and do not subtract from it. But keep the commands of the Lord your God that I give you. You saw with your eyes, your own eyes, what the Lord did at Baalpeor. The Lord your God destroyed from among you everyone who followed the Baalpeor. But all of you who held fast to the Lord your God are still alive today. See, I have taught you decrees and laws as the Lord my God commanded me, so that you may follow them in the land you are entering to take possession of it. Observe them carefully, for this will show you your wisdom and understanding to the nations. You will hear about all these decrees and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. What other nation is so great as to have their gods near to them the way the Lord our God is near to us whenever we pray to him? And what other nation is so great as to have such righteous decrees and laws as this body of laws I am setting before you today? Only be careful and watch yourselves closely so that you do not forget the things your eyes have seen, or let them fade from your heart as long as you live. Teach them to your children and to their children after them. Amen. You'll be wondering who is talking here. Anyone knows who is talking here? Moses is talking. Now, Moses had to go through this. We have a Moses there. Moses waved to me. Everybody see him. That's him talking. See, Moses had to talk to the people of Israel. At that point, they were going to take possession of an inheritance God has given them. But in the generation that Moses was talking to, they only knew that they were born Israelites. They only knew that they belonged to a community. They only knew that they were part of a people chosen by God, but they did not know his laws. They had no understanding. They just followed the crowd. It sounds far-fetched, but it's just like our time. Most of us, we know that we've been born into a Christian country. Most of us, we know that probably we are not Muslims or Hindus. We call ourselves Christian. If we have to fill in some application or fill in some census, we say we're Christian. Most of us, we know that we belong to a community of beautiful people. We have a beautiful heritage, beautiful culture, beautiful precepts and laws. However, we do not understand them. We're just part of the community. For most of us, we only even think about or hear about these precepts or these commands when we go to church. On a beautiful day like we're going to dedicate Giovanni. Some of us, we only go to church when there's a funeral. Yes or no? I know that to be true. Some of us, we only go to church when it's Christmas or New Year's Eve, if we are lucky. Some of us, we go to church when there's a wedding. But we know that our fathers gave us some commandment. They gave us some precept. They gave us some direction to follow. We know we belong to a Christian community, but we only follow that. And that was the background that Moses was talking to them. Moses was saying that, look, if you are going to take a possession, then know this. That this is one thing that you must know for sure. That God has called you to take territories. Hallelujah. So if you are sitting here, whether you call yourself a Christian or not, as long as you are a human being, as long as you belong to a community call themselves Christians, as long as you identify yourself when you want to talk about your religion, you say Christianity, then we want you to know that God has called you to take territories. Hallelujah. You see, to take territories means that something that does not belong to you, but it has been given to you for a possession. Are you following? I like you guys to talk to me. That is my culture. When you talk, we talk back. You can't shut our mouth until we're dead. So God has called us to take territories. And the question for you is, what territory has God called you to take? What is it that God has put in your hand? There is something about you that God likes. That he has said, I have set aside something to give you. Because of my great love. Because of my grace. Because I am a God who cares so much about you that whatever that you need to take as a possession, I will give to you. Even when we are still sinners, Apostle Paul will say that even while we are still sinners, Christ Jesus Christ died for us. Even though sometimes we don't go to church, sometimes we don't care about this God, sometimes we don't even want to know about this God. Sometimes when you go to church and somebody talk about God, you get so upset until whatever you came for, you finish. Even though we don't care that way, God said, you know what, I care about you and I still want to give you a possession. Hallelujah. But in order to take territories, certain conditions need to meet, to be met or fulfilled. Certain things need to happen. There should be some defining moments in our lives that will bring us to pay attention to this God. For Moses, who was writing this to the people of Israel, it took for 40 years he was on the wilderness, struggling and doing all sorts of things and serving people, running away from the very home that he was born into. But it took an experience of a burning bush, a bush that burned or that was on fire but not consuming, before he turned to know that God has called him for a possession. Hallelujah. For the Apostle Paul, who was then called Saul, it took an encounter with Jesus Christ on the way to Damascus for him to know that God has called him with a purpose to give him a possession. For Jacob, who was running away from his brother Esau, it took an encounter with an angel on the way before he got to know that God has called him for a possession. And for Peter, it took him a time that he had to deny Jesus Christ 3 times before he got to know that God has called him into something greater than he was. So today, I don't know what you have encountered. I don't know what is your defining moment. I don't know what you are going through. But I want you to know that whatever the situation is, God is calling you into an encounter for you to have a possession that has been earmarked for you. Hallelujah. What I'm effectively saying is that whatever your situation, whatever you're going through, see that as an opportunity to reconnect with God so that you can actually walk into your destiny. Hallelujah. I need some bigger response. Amen. That means we want this to be happening to us, folks. For years I've been working and earning big bucks. But it took an encounter with Jesus Christ for me to know and understand that my destiny is to come and actually love people more and to make sure that I see that people actually attain their destiny and leverage their lives towards God so that one day when they die, they will have a living hope. And for those of you who are having a fantastic time, whether in jobs or earning money or in businesses or getting profit or whatever career you are involved in or whatever opportunities or situation you find yourself in that you are enjoying so much, remember, the Bible says that, remember your God. That fantastic opportunity is for you to begin to have a defining moment that you can re-leverage your life and your thought towards God and say, hey, if I am enjoying life this way, what will it be if God is on my side and pushing me on and egging me on and even pushing me into bigger things? How great will that be? Begin to see that way. Praise God. God has called us into great things and to take territories. The call of God is spiritual connection and a relationship. God is looking for you to connect with Him in a spiritual way. Because God is spirit. God wants us to get into something deeper than what we see. Sometimes it can be an emotional connection or psychological connection. But for us as Christians, we call it belief connection or faith connection. God is looking for that. And when Jesus Christ was quoting from Deuteronomy chapter 6 verse 5, as recorded in the Gospel of Mark chapter 12 verse 30, he said, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. Are you hearing this? Mark 12, 30. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And the 31 says, love your neighbor as yourself. But Jesus was quoting from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5. The same laws that was given to the people of Israel, the community of people who follow God to take territories, the same laws are being given to you too so that you can begin to take territories. That if you begin to make God a priority in your life, then you begin to take territories. If you love God with all your mind, it's a priority. With all your heart, it's a priority. With all your soul, it's a priority. With all your strength, it's a priority. There's some effort need to be made there. And when you do these things, then you begin to walk into your territory and you take your territories. Why am I saying this? And why was Moses saying this? Because God's laws and commands are good for us. Really? Yes, it is. They are good for us. There are many times people have asked and said, Pastor Gideon, you know what? How come this church, you don't talk to us about, oh, if you give 10 pounds as an offering, next moment you're going to get £1 million. Why don't you tell us that if we give our offering, we're going to have houses and things like that. Why don't you preach like that? I'm not wired that way because that's not the way God's word works. Are you with me? It worked for some, I don't know how, But I promise you, it's not the way God's words work. So my priority is to, like Moses, is to bring the word of God to you so you can understand it. Then you can yourself can actually work through it and know God for yourself and then begin to claim your promises for yourself. So that you don't have to go and say, Pastor, pray for me. Pastor, pray for me. Pastor, pray for me. Then you become a pray for me church. What about pray for yourself church? Are you with me? I won't tell you some stories that I've seen in the past few months, but let me move on. Right. His laws and commands are good for us because God's purpose is revealed in the Bible. If you want to know God's purpose for your life, it is revealed in the Bible. There's so much in there that can actually open your eyes to amazing things. Why? Because when you open into the Bible, you come to a point that you know that God's purpose is to build a relationship between you and Him. God wants you to be His father, you His son or daughter. God wants you to be His friend. God wants you to be His maid, His body. God wants you to come around Him so you can sup with Him. He will sup with you. He wants to be where you are. He wants to be in your home. He wants to know your stories, and you want Him to hear your stories. Isn't that right? That's what friends do. That's what buddies do. And if you've got good parents, that is what you do. Right? And if you're a good mother or father, you sometimes share your heart with your children. Yes or no? Okay. So, God's purpose is in His Bible to help us keep a relationship with Him and also to guide our lives so that we can relate to people in the right way. Some of us, we just don't like our friends. Yesterday, I was talking to somebody and I'm thinking, I said, you know what? You always talk about racism and everything. You know what? I think you are racist towards me and we're both black. And the person said, you mean I'm black, you're black, and I'm racist? I said, yeah, you are. Just to get people a little bit confused. But all what I'm trying to say is sometimes we don't even like our own kind. Sometimes we don't like our own friends. It's good enough to have other people hating you, but what about your own kind? That hurts more, isn't it? And we're supposed to be in relationship. We're supposed to know how to relate to each other. And for us to take territories, we have to learn how to communicate with each other, how to talk to each other, how to love people. People will hurt you, we know that. But that is not supposed to be the norm, right? Say right. See, people hating each other is not the norm. People loving each other is the norm. Right. Thank you, Rita. I know you love me. Right. So, people loving each other is the right thing to do because the Bible tells in 1 John chapter 4 that, look, brothers and sisters, God is love. In God is love. And if God is love, love each other. That's what He's saying. Love each other. So God is love. And that's the right way to relate to people, to love people, to forgive people, and to move on. They may hurt you, but put that behind you. They may hurt you, but put that behind you. Just remember, I'm not a telephone savvy or technology savvy, but I have you guys know what WhatsApp is, isn't it? Okay, if you give me your number, I will send you one. Right. This message said, don't feel bad if people remember you only when they need you. Are you following? Don't feel bad if people remember you only when they need you. Feel privileged that you are like a candle that comes to their mind when there is darkness. Isn't that so beautiful? You see, you do so much for so many people, and sometimes they don't even remember. They just walk away on you. It hurts like hell. But then when they need you, they run. But thank God. You see, Jesus Christ said, look, you are the light of the world. And the relationship and the territories that God is calling us into for us to provide light as beacons for people that walk in darkness. Because that is what Jesus Christ Himself came to do. So that in Isaiah chapter 9 verse 2 said, the people who walk in darkness have seen a great light. Isn't that right? It said, be salt and light to the world. And this is taking territory. That means people will begin to look to you for direction. People will begin to look to you so that they can come out of darkness and see where they are going. Isn't this a position of authority and power that God has put in your hand? People will flock into you and always come to you for advice. Not that you've done all the amazing studies in this world. You're just Mr. Ordinary. Yeah, like me and Dwayne, right? We both ordinary, aren't we? Yeah, speak for yourself. So what we're trying to say here is that, look, God can take the foolish things of this world to confound the wise in this world. That's what Apostle Paul wrote. That God would take the foolish, nobody even look at you to think there's any good thing in you. But say, God, he said, I will take the foolish things of this world. The world think you are foolish, but I'll confound those who are wise, because that is taking territory before God. Hallelujah. See, God wants us to succeed in all things because God wants us to stand out among others as a special people. As a special people. Let's go back to our reading here. He said, now Israel, hear the decrees and the laws I'm about to teach you. Follow them so that you may live and may go in and take possession of the land the Lord God your ancestors is giving to your ancestors and giving to you too. Do not add to it. Do not subtract from it. But keep the commands of the Lord your God. But you saw how I destroyed those who put in bad power. You saw the wonderful things that I did. But you hold fast to the Lord your God. And those who hold fast to it are still alive today. See, I've taught you decrees and laws as the Lord my God commanded me, so that you may follow them in the land you are going to take possession. And if you observe them carefully, it will show you that you are wise and understanding, and the nations will see it for themselves. God wants us to succeed in life. You'll be thinking, God wants me to succeed, you to succeed. Of course, God wants every one of us to succeed in life. Don't accept that God created you to live a life of misery. It's not his agenda. God did not create you to live a life all full of sickness from beginning to the end. It's not his agenda. I dare you to read the Bible. If you look through the whole of Genesis, which is almost half of the story of the Old Testament, there was not a single mention of sickness or disease in there. You mean you go through almost half of the story of the Old Testament, 39 books, and there's no mention of sickness? Yes. Sickness only came in when the people went into Egypt. I'm not here to teach you theology now to confuse you, but I'm here to let you know that it is not in God's agenda. God wants us to succeed. So if God said, I am the Lord, your healer, that means it is good for you, isn't it? Yes. I am the one who shield you, that is good for you. I'm the one who protect you, is good for you. I am your good shepherd, I will lead you to green pastures, is good for you. Even though you walk through the valley of shadow of death, you will fear no evil. That is good for you, isn't it? So when the waters come and hit you at the point of drowning you, you will not be drowned. He said, I will raise up a standard. That means God will raise you up above it. Somebody is going to show you underneath your feet so that you're going to float above the waters that is trying to overflow you. When you walk through the fire, I will be with you. It will not harm you. Normally, fire will harm you, but God said it's not going to harm you. That is good for you, isn't it? God's laws are good for us. So if you and me begin to take it upon ourselves and want to obey it, it's going to do us a whole lot of good. Praise God. You'll be thinking, oh, this guy is only talking about the Old Testament. What about the New Testament? 3 John chapter 2, chapter 1, verse 2. He said, look, it is my prayer. That's the Apostle John praying. That it's my prayer that you, writing to Gaius, It's my prayer that you will be in good health and that it will be well with you, that even your soul will prosper. Even as you prosper. Put it together. I want your soul to prosper. Have a peace of mind. Even as you prosper. That means generally I want it to be well with you. So if God is saying that, then his laws are good for us. So if we hold on to it, it's going to be good for us. If we walk with it, if we run with it, if we live by it, it's going to do us a whole lot of good. Praise God. But let us not make it complicated, in my words. But let us not make it complicated. Don't make it complicated by adding to it or subtracting from it. How do we add to it? If God says something positive and you say something negative, you are adding to it, aren't you? Yes or no? If God says, I will heal you, and we say, oh God, you know what? I know I'm sick, which is a fact. I know there are doctors, which is a fact, they will help you too. But if God said, I'm a God of miracles and I do these things, then it's a fact that you have to believe that too. Because sometimes when medication can't do something and you get to the end, what do? You take your life? No, you don't. That is when you want miracles to happen in your life. Amen. 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 When you are sick, don't stay at home. You know, you die for nothing. Go to the hospital and see a doctor. If they say they can't do it, then you ask for miracles. But why don't you go pray for God to use them to help you? Is that good teaching? Yes. Thank you. Some people will stay at home and they think that they believe in God, and many people die for no reason because they believe foolish things. They are adding to words of God. Do you know what I mean? They add in their own imagination, their own doctrine into the word of God. Do you know some of the people who follow Jesus Christ were doctors? And you know some doctors who also follow Jesus Christ even now? So, what's your problem? Don't make it complicated by adding or subtracting to it. The things that you imagine about God is not what he thinks about you. Are you with me? See, the thing that you imagine about God is what he thinks about. Sometimes we imagine God is standing around with a big stick. Like when we're growing, our parents will have a belt or sometimes a cane. I mean, you reply in a very wonderful generation that when anybody whip you, they go to prison. Exactly. And they carry you 9 months and they still have to go to prison by whipping you. Well, I'm not recommending anything. But all what I'm trying is that our time, we had some cane and belt as a threat. See, they don't use it often. If you have good parents, they won't use it that often. But sometimes just the look alone will make you, it's more than having the whip. You see, sometimes I'd rather give me the canes than give me the looks. That alone will make you, will put you in order. And that is exactly what we're trying to say. That please, I'm pleading with you. God is not thinking that when you are hanging around, anything that you do is coming to whip you. He's not like that. The whip is a last resort if you consistently refuse to listen. Then you have that. Your imagination about God should not define what God is. Don't let your circumstances define who God is to you. Because if your circumstances is bad, doesn't mean that God is bad. If you've got a bad parent, doesn't mean that God is a bad person. If your circumstances means that you are not having food to eat, doesn't mean that God can't provide food. If you are in debt, doesn't mean that God wants you to be poor. Are you following? Exactly. So sometimes we just put God in a little box of our imagination and thinking this is how God is. But God is different than that. You following me, aren't you? Thank you. Praise God. Let's press on. So what I'm going to say is that God is with you. God is with you. Whatever your situation is, wherever you are, God is with you. Sometimes you get to a point where you don't even have the money to slot your electricity, charge your electricity or charge your gas, and you'll be thinking, where is God? God says, I'm still with you. Sometimes you turn around and nothing seems to be going right. And you're thinking, what's the point? I thought we came here to better ourselves. I thought we came here because this country is fantastic. I thought I was born into this community. I'm Caucasian, but why am I on the dole? Well, I don't mean me physically, right? But why isn't things going the way it's supposed to be? But God is still with you. It doesn't matter what situation that you find yourself, God is still with you. If your business is going on so much that you're even losing control, God is still with you. And that's what I want you to know. And I'll take a story of a little man, a man called Gideon. That's me too, right? That's my name. And this guy came from a community. His tribe is Manasseh. And, you know, Manasseh is the son of promise from David, right? From Joseph. You remember that story? Only a few of you read the Bible, but that's okay. So, Manasseh is Joseph's children, one of them. And he comes from that Manasseh tribe. And they are going through such a difficult time. For 7 years, it was unrelenting, unabating, nothing good happening to them. But you see, the funny thing is that it was their own problem at the time. They forgot about their God. They forgot about the promises of God. They forgot about keeping in line with God. They forgot about taking territories. They had entered the land, but they were in such a horrible trouble with the Midianite. Each time they grow their food, it's just like you work at the end of the day, you get your pay, and it goes to the bank, the next thing you go, and then you are already in overdraft. You see, that was exactly that time. It didn't put it in that way, but that is exactly what was happening, because when they grow their crop and it's ready for harvest and they go in to harvest it, then this Midianite will come and camp on the land with their cattle, with their camel, with their gold, with their sheep, with everybody. They come and eat everything. And the people who work for it will sit down in shame and they won't feel like hiding. Does it sound like your bank account? Are you with me? You see, you work so hard and you get your pay, and before the pay hit, you're already in overdraft because you've already borrowed somewhere. You're already in trouble somewhere. Come on, Cap Money course and learn something. And if you come on Cap Money course and not learning anything, please put it into practice, for it works. Yes? It really does. So, folks, I just want to encourage you that this is what was happening to these Midianites. And Gideon was an Israelite from the tribe of Manasseh that they were hiding. But he was a brave man. Brave man in the sense that while his compatriots were hiding in caves, he decided that I've had enough of this. I've had enough of me working so hard and not seeing my money. I've had enough of me struggling so much but not seeing no reward. I've had enough about working so hard to get my business moving but it's not moving. I've had enough that I've worked so hard but they promote Dwayne and they leave me aside. Sorry, Dwayne, I know you are my brother. That's why I call you your name. You see, they keep promoting him. I don't know why. So, I thank God that, I mean, people like him, God is with them. And God is me too, with every one of you. But what we're trying to say here is that there came a time that Gideon said, I've had enough of this. I'm going to make sure that what I have worked for, I'm going to beat it up and I'm going to eat it myself. So there came a time that you have to rebel against the issues that are facing you, that are preventing you, that are eating you. You have to say, I've had enough of this. I'm not going to have any more. Are you with me? In England, we say we have some bulldog spirit. I want some Jamaican spirit here. If you're Jamaican, say hey. Thank you. Never mind where the rest come from. Praise God. What we're saying, folks, here is that sometimes you have to have that resilience that you're going to rebel. You're not going to take it. You're not going to take defeat as the norm. You're going to say, I don't want it. I am going to turn my situation around. Then God sent a prophet to this guy and said, hey, you know what? I'm going to change the situation for you. And did he hear it? He heard it, but it didn't sink in. Then God came in the form of an angel and said, look, you mighty man of God. You can turn to, Judges chapter 6, verse 12, and we'll read it together. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." "Pardon me, my Lord. You mean me, Gideon? But if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all his wonders that our ancestors told us about it when they said, 'Did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt?' But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of Midian." The Lord turned to him and said, "Go in the strength that you have and save Israel out of the hands of the Midianite. Am I not sending you?" The words are, "The Lord is with you. Am I not sending you?" Gideon heard this and said, "I mean, how can I be? You mean I am the one that you've given possession to? I am the one that have to change the situation, rebel against the situation, and roll back the opposition, to roll back all the strongholds that is against me, to roll back all the people that hate me? Am I the one?" He said, "Yes, you are the one. Your tribe is the least, yes. But I want you to do it. Because there's some strength in you to do it." That's what he says. "You mighty man of valor, there's some strength in you to turn situation around." Look at somebody and say, "There's some strength in you to turn your situation around." Say it again. Exactly. "There's some strength in you to turn your situation around." So Gideon had to turn his situation around. And God said, "It will take you. Don't expect somebody to do it for you. Don't expect somebody to fight your battles for you. You have to fight your own battles." Is that right? Yes. Selena, fight your own battles. You are a strong woman. I can see it in your face. Fight your own battles. Don't wait for nobody. They may only help you at some point. You only know your story better. So each one of you, fight your own battles. That's what the word of God is saying. For God is on your side, fighting for you all the while, even up to now. Because our readings in Judges, Deuteronomy 4 said, "For God has been with you all this while, fighting for you." For God has been with you all this while, fighting for you. Why? Because you are very special people. Because God's blessings does not contradict his purposes. That means God's blessing will not contradict what is in his word. That's what I'm trying to say. His blessings make you highly favored and esteemed of God. That means you become a special person that God chooses to favor you before and after the next person sitting by you. So I don't mind who's looking at me here. God has favored me. I don't know about you. Who has favored you? He has. Who is he? Exactly. God has favored you. That is exactly what we're saying. That God has favored you. He has esteemed you. His blessings give you a nod over all the people that you come across. God's word is to make you wise and understanding. It's to make you a great nation. You see, I would like to take the promises of God this way and run with it. Instead of sitting down and looking at my situation, you think I don't have problems. I have it just like you. You think I don't meet it hard sometimes? Yes, I meet it hard sometimes, Duane. You know that, don't you? Well, you might not. But whatever it is, sometimes I just sit and think, where is God, like Gideon is saying? But God says, "I am with you because you are a special person. I am near you when you pray." That's what he says. Yeah? If you go to Deuteronomy chapter 4, it said, "When you pray." Let's read that bit and I'll bring this message to a conclusion at some point soon. Deuteronomy chapter 4 that we were reading earlier on. It said, "What other nation is so great as to have their God," verse 7, "as to have their God so near to them, the way the Lord our God is near to us whenever we pray to him?" So that means when you pray, God comes closer to you. What nation has God so close to them as us when we pray to him? So if you are not praying right now or sitting here and you don't pray, God ain't close to you. If you want God to fight your battles, pray to him. Prayer is worship and intercession. For these things are righteous decrees. The last verse in our reading, which is verse 9, says this. Only be careful and watch yourselves closely so that you do not forget the things your eyes have seen, or let them fade from your heart as long as you live. Teach them to your children and to their children's children. Selena, teach them to your children. We're already talking about your grandchildren now. You're not looking at it yet, but it's in your belly. That is exactly that. So we are looking at that. Teach them to your grandchildren. So I'm sure your grandmom has been teaching you some things. Is that right? Exactly. You love her, don't you? You better do, because they are good people. And they will pray for you. The blessing they put on you, it will always remain. So teach them to your children's children. But don't forget, don't overlook the goodness of God. Don't forget the things that your eyes have seen. Because sometimes you have to count your blessings and name them one by one and give thanks to God for the things that God has done. If nothing at all, you are alive. Some people are dropping into the Mediterranean. Some people are walking many miles. Some people are hungry, don't have any. And you and me, we are not lacking any of these things, are we? We have to thank God for that. We have to thank God for that. And yes, mommy is here, right here. And daddy is here too. And teach them the righteous decrees and laws. Don't overlook them. Don't overlook them. So to finish, I will say this. We are the people God has called. God has called us to take territories. He's given us his purpose, which is his laws, the Bible, for us to look at. Let us not complicate it by doubting it and saying otherwise. Let the thing that comes out of our mouth to be in line with God's word. And know that you are a very special person. And when God does you good, don't forget to say thank you. And finally, don't forget to seek God. That means diligently look for the Lord. And those who diligently look for the Lord, they will find him. And when you find him with all your heart, or seek him with all your heart and your soul, for the Lord our God is merciful. For the Lord our God is merciful. This is in verse 31. He will not forget his covenant to you. I'll leave you with this Bible verses. Therefore, know this day and consider it in your heart that the Lord himself is God in heaven and above and on earth and beneath. There is no other. You shall therefore keep his statute or commandment, which I command you today, that it may go well with you and with your children after you, and that you may prolong your days in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. Think about it. And look at that picture that I have for you. For us to look at as prayer. You can interpret it anyhow you like. It's about a young lady with a lovely cuddly toy. But there is a man, supposed to be Jesus. Guess what is behind him? Massive cuddly toy. And all what is in it, just trust me. And the person is saying, you know what? But I love what I have, God. And sometimes what you are holding on to is not worth it. So what are you holding on to? Shall we pray right now? Because the next time is for Giovanni. So what are you holding on to? Do you want to trust this God? Do you want to take possessions? Today I want you to just talk to God, tell him something. I don't know what you've learned from what you've heard today. There's got to be something in there for you. Hold on to it and talk to God about it. And above all, if you have never committed your life to Jesus Christ, today is the time for you to Commit your life to Him because God is interested in you. He loves you. He cares about you. He graciously wants you to be one of His. He graciously wants you to take territories. He wants you to succeed in everything.